Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Dr. Bill Price speaking. I'm a Master Global Executive Neuroscience Leadership Coach. I've been coaching for nearly 2.5 decades. I've been in the ministry, and my interest and my passion in my life is neurology, the neuroscience. As a neuroscience cognitive practitioner, I look at scripture differently. I am being trained by rabbis who have created what is known as neurotheology. And it's so interesting that your brain does go to church, that your being goes to church. It's not just a body, soul, and spirit that goes to church, but there is a neurology that's very much alive, very much programmed by the Creator. Within our neurology, we've been programmed with connection. Within our neurology, we've been programmed with being at one with. And when Jesus speaks in John 17 and defines eternal life, in verse 3, he says, "This is eternal life, that you," which is you and I, "may know him," which is his Father, "and be at one with him, as he and the Father know each other and are at one with each other." And then there's a full stop after that. There's nothing more to do with salvation. You don't have to do extra deeds. It's what Jesus said. The definition is, it's knowing God. And you get to know him through going through a door. And that door, Jesus said, "I am the door. No man comes to the Father but through me." And of course, the Holy Spirit guides us in the whole process. We are looking in our third session in our series of five on 52 days to rebuild the brokenness of your life. We're looking at the world of Nehemiah. He came, he got permission from King Artaxerxes, he got a letter of authority, the good hand of the Lord was upon his shoulders. He inspected the brokenness of a city 3 nights in a row. He created a plan, and that plan was to get people to build the brokenness that's in front of them. I wonder what's in front of you. I wonder what's at your doorstep right now that you can see. You walk out every day and you see it. This is not fixed. This is not right. You're aware of it. You don't need a prophecy to tell you. You don't need a sermon to tell you. You don't need anybody to point it out. You see it there in front of you, a broken down wall, a broken door, a broken down relationship, a broken down reality, broken finances, a broken dream. And it lies there in the rubble of regret and disappointment and fear and anger. And Nehemiah said he's going to fix these gates. And the first gate that he went in his research, he stopped at the sheep gate. And remember, that's the gate where we look at our sacrifice. So what are you willing to sacrifice to rebuild your life? There's a price that has to be paid. You have to sacrifice time, T-I-M-E. You have to sacrifice time and talent and trust. You have to sacrifice intimacy, innovation, and being influenced. You have to sacrifice M, which is a memory. You have to sacrifice mourning. You have to sacrifice money. And you have to measure. And E, I have to sacrifice energy. Then he went from the sheep gate to the fish gate. And the fish gate is where we sold our fish and we influenced people. We found, who do I have in my friendship circle that I can call close to me to help me to rebuild my life? You're not going to do it alone. Who's there? The third gate that Nehemiah stopped and examined was called the Old Gate, which is the northwest of the city. And it was here where we pay attention to our old habits and our old thinking, our old beliefs, our own feelings, where the flesh, which is not sin, but where the flesh is sarx, which means in the Greek my humanity, my humanness. And then he went to the Valley Gate, and that's the place where we are at a space of humility, where we put our ego one side and we lift our hands up and say, God, please help me. Help me. And he did help Jerusalem. He sent Nehemiah. Who's God sending your way that you're blind to, oblivious to? Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your son, your uncle, your aunt, your friend, your small group leader, people in the small group, your friend at work, people that you relate to online. Who are they? And then from the Valley Gate, he went to the Dung Gate, and the Dung Gate is where all the rubbish is taken out the city, and you don't keep rubbish in the city, you take it out. What's the rubbish, the nonsense, that you need to stop with and go, I've had enough of this nonsense now. I've had enough of me being this ego freak that constantly moaning and groaning, and oh, it's all me, it's all happening to me, nobody cares about me, I'm disadvantaged, I'm this and that. Get with the plan. Take that, and it's rubbish, put it away and look at yourself and say, I have capacity built in by God in me to change my life around. And to change my life around, I need to identify the rubbish, I need to handle it, and I must stop wallowing in my excuses. Stop those blame games and excuses. Stop blaming your mother, your father, the tragedy, the trauma, the CNA, the devil, anybody else you want to get your hand on, and look at your life and go, you know what? It happened. It happened. It's not the end of the world. I make it the end of the world when I wallow in my rubbish. So through the Dung Gate, I cleanse myself with the washing of the word at the Fountain Gate. And the Fountain Gate is where I realize that I'm not a vessel that's filled with water that's stagnant, because Jesus very clearly said to me, I am a fountain. I'm turning you into a fountain. Just as he said in John 15, where he says to his disciples, I'm tired of calling you disciples. I'm now wanting to call you my friend. And it's interesting how many churches have got discipleship programs, and I've asked the leaders in conferences, could you tell me how many, and please put your hands up, in your discipleship program has got a module called How to Become a Friend of God. You were invited by Jesus to become one. You don't have to be a disciple for all your life. There's a new approach to things. And the Water Gate is also a gate that is called the Fountain Gate. And it was there that Jesus near there spoke to the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well. And it was near that gate that he said to her, I will give you rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being. And now we come to the third session, which is the next gate, and that is the horse gate. The horse gate, people that were building the horse gate around surroundings, fixing the wall there, building, they built with one hand, they had the trowel, and they had all the building equipment in their one hand, and on the other hand, they had a sword and a spear. Why? Because until the doors are solidly closed and secured, you are vulnerable. And until you and I pay attention to these gateways in our life, they're not going to work. So the horse gate was the place where it was the king's horsemen would ride out to war from this gate. The King David used to inspect all his horsemen and his army at the horse gate. It's on the northeastern section of the city. And we are told by Rabbi Paul in the book of Ephesians that we need to put on the armor of God and we need to get dressed. So you've got to get guts. Somewhere you've got to put on the armor that belongs to you. You've got to put on the helmet of salvation and start thinking right. You've got to have a shield of faith and start letting your faith be applied and let the fiery darts hit your faith and not you. It's about time that you pick up the sword, which is the word of God. It's about time that you tie a belt of righteousness around your waist and pull your life together with integrity. It's about time that you realize that you are not a nobody, that you are equipped to be able to do battle. The enemy doesn't get you down. The next gate that we need to pay attention to in the story of the Hebrew story of Nehemiah and Jerusalem is the Eastern Gate. Now, that's the eastern side, and it's near the temple. Very interesting. This gate is called the Gate of Worship, and the people used to go through this gate on the annual days where they used to go and fast and bring in their tithes annually to the temple. People used to come through the Eastern Gate. It's opposite the Mount of Olives, and it was where you brought your worship and where you brought your offering. One of the things that you need to restore if you're going to rebuild the brokenness of your life is your intimacy with God. Learn to worship Him. Now, I'm not talking about playing choruses. I'm not talking about the worship that in church, that's collective worship. I'm talking about you and me time with God alone. The time that Jesus speaks about in John 17, that you might know the Father and be at one with Him and be intimate with God alone with Him. Hearing Him whisper, recognizing His voice as the shepherd of your life. Hearing His heartbeat, like John the Baptist, John the Apostle, in the book of John, where he puts his head against the chest of Christ and is the first and only disciple to have heard the heartbeat of God. And it's very interesting that that gate has been shut off and closed, and it's only going to be opened when Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, He will come through the Eastern Gate, is what the prophecies say. The next gate that Nehemiah pays attention to is the Muster Gate. The Muster Gate is an inspection gate. It's on the northern section of the wall. You read about it in 2 Samuel 29:4 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 5, and that's where King David inspected his army and counted them. The elders also sat at this gate, and they judged and orchestrated cases. So the gate that you've got to restore in your life is statistics. You've got to look at your money and ask yourself the question, so how much do I need? How much do I want? And then make plans accordingly. Righteous plans, of course. It's where you adjudicate. It's where you look over your life and you pronounce righteous judgment. Not condemning yourself, not criticizing yourself, not becoming your own worst friend, but where you do reflection in meditation, where you examine. Like Rabbi Paul said to the Corinthian church, when you sit in front of the sacrifice of the communion table and you look at the emblems, that's a time when you self-examine. So the muster gate is the place where we examine our life, where we measure what we want to execute, and we measure what we have executed. Someone once said, a life worth living is a life worth measuring. And if you cannot measure your life, and if you just go back every day doing the same things, and when someone says, so how's your intimacy with God, how do you measure it? I can measure it by looking in my diary and going, I've got alone times with God called my reflection times. I've got times where I'm reading scripture, or I'm reading or I'm watching international speakers, the privilege that I had in COVID to find some of the most amazing speakers on the planet. It's the time where God and I get together, where we have communion, where I'm under the shadow of His presence, where it's God and me and God. And I ask Him to search my heart and see if there's any brokenness in me. and get God to examine from His side my life. Let the Holy Spirit show me. Not wait for someone else who's going to tell me from a pulpit, or wait for someone else who's going to tell me in a prophecy. They have their place. But where I and God have an intimate time of connected communion, where I'm known by God and where God knows me, and where I am at one with God and God is at one with me. That Rabbi Paul in one of the epistles wrote that if you will open your door, Jesus and God will come in your life and will visit you and be comfortable in you. The Old Testament was a time of visitation where God used to visit on odd occasions. The New Testament is a time where God abides within and presides and stays and hovers over us and lives in us and lives through us. I do pray that as you look at all these gates and control centers of your life, visit each one. Take time. Take notes. Listen to the podcast again and again, and then do what you've heard. Because this podcast, it's like a book. I believe a book is not to be read. A book reads you. These podcasts are not for you just to listen to, but these podcasts are here to share with you, to awaken within you what you need to do, what you need to hear, who you need to become. I do trust that you will do exactly that. Until the next podcast, God bless you.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012 334 1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.